From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo met with President Trump on Thursday to negotiate a resumption of the Trusted Travelers program that the Department of Homeland Security had recently suspended in his state. In a letter to New York state officials, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf had said that the move was in direct response to the recent passage of the Driver's License Access and Privacy Act in New York. That law allows undocumented immigrants the right to obtain legal driver's licenses and protects their identity from the federal government. Joining us to examine the battle between the federal government and the state of New York over immigration policy is Anu Joshi. She is the Senior Director of Immigrant Rights Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition. Welcome to the program, Anu.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, can you explain what exactly Chad Wolf had done in this letter to DMV officials? Specifically, he cited this law and made the justification that the Trusted Travelers program had to be suspended?
Yeah, well, I think what's important to note, first of all, is that it's very clear to all of us that this is blatant political retaliation and actually has nothing to do with Global Entry or any of the other Trusted Traveler programs that DHS runs. These are individuals who apply for this program who willingly, you know, hand over their personal information, are fingerprinted, go in for an interview. And for the DHS to say that because they don't have access to their DMV data now, that they can no longer verify these people is, I mean, quite simply ludicrous. And so what we know is that this administration has made no bones about going after states that are doing what they can to protect their residents, including protecting their confidential information, and that this is just another in a long line of those attacks. And, you know, one thing that has become very clear to me and that I've been very heartened to see is that New Yorkers won't be bullied, right? We refuse to be held hostage by this administration, especially over something like the Global Entry Program or other Trusted Travelers programs. And so, you know, it's been really heartening to see New Yorkers say, sure, I might have to wait longer in line at JFK, but it's worth it when it comes to protecting my neighbors, my family members, my friends.
So these programs, Trusted Traveler programs, as they're called, one of them is Global Entry. It's where if you've been to the airport, some people get to basically cut short their travel times because they've paid and taken the time to enroll in these programs directly. They might be people who travel frequently, and so they, rather than waiting in those long security lines, they get to cut the lines, go through their own line, and they directly give all their information. They get their background checks done. As far as you know, does DHS ever access their DMV data for, you know, in order to vet them?
Well, you know, one thing that's become increasingly apparent is that we don't really know how the federal government and Department of Homeland Security specifically is accessing states' DMV data. I mean, we have heard stories that are coming to light from Washington State, from California, about how ICE is accessing DMV data in, you know, really troubling ways. And so New York, as the 13th state, to pass driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants, had the opportunity to learn from those states, to really take the example that they've set and build on that. And so we're really proud that we do have the strongest privacy protections in the country in our law. But we don't understand, and DHS has not made a case, not in that letter that Chad Wolf sent to our DMV state officials or in any other public media since then, how or why DHS actually needs to access DMV data in order to vet people for the Trusted Traveler programs.
So this particular law that I mentioned, this is the Driver's License Access and Privacy Act. The law was the one that New York was, you know, in the headlines for allowing undocumented immigrants to get a driver's license. That same law enshrines their information is protected from the federal government because, of course, the federal government will enforce immigration policy and is likely to go after undocumented immigrants that might be identified as being as such through the DMV, right? So that was a necessary part of that legislation?
Yes, but I should note that these privacy protections protect everyone
right.
who gets a driver's license in New York.
I see.
Everyone. And I should say that it didn't just cut off access completely wholesale to the federal government. It only specifically cut off access to agencies whose primary purpose is to enforce immigration. So as folks might know, that's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, and CBP, Customs and Border Protection. And it also said, hey, ICE or CBP, if you have a judicial warrant, then you can get access to individual records. So if, you know, ICE is really concerned about someone and they need access to that information, then they should be able to get a judicial warrant. They should be able to make their case to a judge. And that provision is in the law. That so we did not completely cut off access. But I want to note that agencies like the FBI or other federal government agencies still have access as long as they're not accessing it to enforce immigration law.
So ahead of his meeting with President Trump, Governor Andrew Cuomo said that he would like to make a compromise with Trump. What exactly did he offer to give the federal government in exchange for restoring access to the Trusted Traveler programs?
Well, you know, I should note I haven't actually seen a written proposal from the governor, and so we're waiting anxiously to see what that actually looks like. You know, of course, the devil is in the details. But last Monday, he went on the radio, and what he said, the governor said was, listen, you know, on a case-by-case basis, we can give you data on applicants for the Trusted Traveler Program if, as a part of their application process, they authorize New York to share their DMV data, then fine, we can make that happen.
I see.
And, you know, on the face of it, we have no problem with that. When people apply for a Trusted Traveler Program, they are willingly, you know, giving their information over to the federal government. And so if they authorize the New York State DMV to share their DMV data, then that's fine.
They've given permission, right? Yeah.
Given permission. But I think that what, you know, is it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And what this last week has shown us is that this was never about getting information about people applying for Trusted Traveler programs. This was about retaliation, pure and simple, and about, you know, a very anti-immigrant agenda that this administration is pursuing.
So the president met with Andrew Cuomo on Thursday. As an aside, it was quite shocking to see the president publicly tweet before the meeting in what was sort of vaguely said but pretty strongly implied that maybe if Cuomo were to drop all the New York State lawsuits against Trump businesses or investigating Trump businesses, that he might be willing to let this go. Let me actually quote the actual tweet. He said, I'm seeing Governor Cuomo today at the White House. He must understand that national security far exceeds politics. And then he went ahead and said, New York must stop all of its unnecessary lawsuits and harassment, start cleaning itself up and lowering taxes. Then he added, build relationships, but don't bring Frito, which I think is, people are saying, is a reference to his brother, who's a CNN commentator. But the unnecessary lawsuits and harassment doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the driver's license law. All he could be referring to would be the lawsuits that New York Attorney General Letitia James is engaged in against him directly. To me, that sounds like another quid pro quo. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, our Attorney General Tish James also filed a lawsuit about this policy of denying New Yorkers access to Trusted Traveler programs.
So it could be that he's referring to, you think?
So it could be that he's referring to. And there have been a number of other administrative policies that our Attorney General has really taken the lead on in combating in the courts, but really trying to parse out what this president means when he tweets is a fool's errand, I think.
So do we know what this meeting was about or what happened during the meeting? It took place on Thursday. Is there any information about what could have been discussed?
So, you know, I don't have any insider info. I know that Governor Cuomo released a statement and basically said, you know, listen, I made this offer to the president to allow him, you know, allow DHS to have on a case-by-case basis access to trusted traveler applicants' data and waiting to hear a response. So I don't think that there was any, you know, resolution in that meeting.
Now, the it's basically the news headlines are simply saying that there was no deal yet. Is New York being targeted because it has the strongest driver's license protection program for undocumented immigrants? I guess it's hard to tell because it is also the state that Trump called his home state, where he's been targeted. He's now changed his home state officially to Florida. And it's possible that those two issues are interwoven. But from an immigrant rights perspective, what do you suspect?
You know, I think it's all of the above. But I will say that we know that our counterparts in California, our counterparts in Washington State and Illinois, who have also made great strides in protecting their immigrant communities through state level policies, have borne the brunt of Trump's wrath as well. And we're, you know, this is a new way that he's come after states, but we're by definitely not the first state he's come after. And so, you know, we are talking to our colleagues in these other states and making sure that we have a unified response to this, because really what this is this president, you know, misusing the power of the executive branch in order to try to bend states to his anti-immigrant agenda. And that's just not going to, we're not going to stand for that.
So let's talk about what had recently taken place in the city of New York, I believe it was in Brooklyn, that highlighted this clash between state law, federal law. ICE, police, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is an agency of DHS, were in the midst of arresting a man that they say was undocumented, and they were basically arresting him for deportation. Another man who didn't know that that's what was happening intervened and was shot in the face. I understand that he has survived. Tell us exactly what happened and how people in New York City have responded.
Well, I think a lot of the details are still unknown, but what we do know is that an unarmed man was shot in the face by an ICE officer, an ICE agent, and in our city, in Brooklyn. And I think, you know, it's horrific and it's a tragedy, and it really speaks to how lawless ICE as an agency has become, how they've really gone rogue and do not reflect the values that I think we would aspire to. It also, you know, is a stark reminder that there's only so far that our cities and states can go to protect our communities, that ICE will continue to operate even in a place like New York City, where we do have some strong sanctuary protections on the books. ICE still is allowed to operate as a federal agents, law enforcement agency on our streets. And so it's going to be really important, as you know, we head into elections, to really think about who we want to be at the head, making decisions about how these agencies operate.
What was the response of New Yorkers to this incident? I mean, on the one hand, you have to worry about NYPD's police brutality. And then here is a federal agency wielding weapons and firing at somebody.
Yeah, there was really an outpouring of support for the victim. You know, thousands of people came out to the streets for a Jericho walk. And there was just a lot of great community resources and support, but also, of course, outrage that this happened in our community. You know, and I don't think that anyone was unaware of the terror that ICE is bringing on our communities, but it really drove that message home.
Now, on Thursday, the New York Times has just announced that Border Patrol is going to be deploying elite tactical agents to sanctuary cities. Agents from a special tactical team said the paper that normally confronts smugglers on the border are being sent to sanctuary cities across the country. And it's part of a supercharged arrest operation in sanctuary cities as part of the president's battle against sanctuary cities. So they're being sent to cities that include Chicago and New York. Additionally, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Houston, Boston, New Orleans, Detroit, New York, New Jersey, all, of course, heavily liberal cities, cities that have taken pledges to protect immigrants. And this sounds like if it were to go through, the type of incident that we're just discussing that took place in New York City would become far more frequent, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's if this is true, it's terrifying, and it's every American should be alarmed at what's happening. Border Patrol is meant to patrol the borders, first of all, and they do not have authority to operate in the interior of the country. And so
they're supposedly going to be backing up ICE agents during deportation operations and standing by as a show of force. This is from the New York Times.
Yeah, well, you know what we don't need is we don't need a show of force in our cities. And so we'll do everything we can to stand up against this. But again, we have to stand up for each other. We have to stand up for our neighbors. But there's only so much that our city and states can do.
So going back to the battle between Trump and the state of New York, can you tell me a little bit more about the legal challenge that Attorney General Letitia James has put forward to this policy to stop access to the Trusted Traveler Program? I mean, it seems as though the Trusted Traveler Program is basically an issue of convenience, right? If such a legal challenge fails, it would inconvenience a bunch of folks in New York airports. But that's it, right?
Well, it's important to know that Trusted Traveler also includes land borders. So in New York, our northern border, people can participate in something called Nexus, which allows them to cross the northern border into Canada more easily. And we have so many people and businesses that operate cross nationally in the United States and in Canada who rely on that program in order for their business to work. So what this, global entry, is what it is. That operates at airports. But Nexus here in New York, it will have a huge impact on the ability of businesses to operate, quite frankly. it will be more than just an inconvenience. Let me put it that way. But I think in terms of the lawsuit, this was blatantly arbitrary and capricious. This decision was not based in any factual evidence. It was based in purely politics and political retaliation. And to discriminate against an entire state of people because of politically motivated policies is not lawful. And so I don't know all the ins and outs of our attorney general's case, but I think that that's a basis for it.
And, even though the issue of family separation has slipped out of the news headlines, how deeply does it continue to impact immigrant communities? I know that, for example, in New York, in the city of New York, there was one very high profile deportation of a Haitian man whose family, is demanding that he return to the city. And he was just deported even after having lived there for many, many years. I imagine that such stories are pretty, difficult for immigrants and immigrant communities to hear about.
I mean, 100%. We talk about family separation at the border, which was horrific and tragic, but it's also happening literally every day across this country in cities big and small when ICE is coming in and arresting long-term residents. On average, an undocumented New Yorker has lived in New York for over a decade. They have roots here. They have families here. And so when ICE comes in and arrests someone, detains them, probably far away from their home, and then eventually deports them, you're talking about, families separated permanently and kids left behind and spouses struggling to make ends meet. And that is the reality of family separation. It's not just happening at the southern border. It's not just happening with recent arrivals. It's happening every day. And, you know, not to say that it didn't happen under the Obama administration. It definitely, definitely did. But it is on steroids under this Trump administration.
And part of the multi-pronged strategy aimed at immigrants is that public charge rule as well, that the Trump administration is now calling on the Supreme Court to lift an injunction against that rule, which basically says that immigrants, undocumented immigrants, or people looking for residency who were found to have been on or taken advantage of public benefits might be turned down. There, I understand there's stories of people who desperately need food stamps and are turning them down because they're worried that their children will be taken away from them.
Yeah. And so, and actually, unfortunately, the Supreme Court already lifted the injunction everywhere except for Illinois, which has its own court case that's moving forward. So the rule will actually go into effect on February 24th, so in 10 days from now. And more than just impacting immigrants who might, you know, take advantage of public benefits that they are entitled to, which is not very many, to be honest. This is really a wealth tax, a wealth test for incoming immigrants and immigrants who are trying to reunite with their family members. If you don't make a certain amount of money, then the federal government is saying they have the right to further interrogate you and deny you based off of that. They can deny you based on the number of kids you have or your prior health record. It's really an insidious and horrible move by this administration to reserve immigration for the wealthy and for the white.
Well, Anu, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization, the New York Immigration Coalition.
Sure. It's www.nyic.org.
That's nyic.org. Thank you so much, Anu, for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Anu Joshi, Senior Director of Immigrant Rights Policy at the New York Immigration Coalition. We've been discussing the Trump administration's targeting of New York over immigrant rights. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.